It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hi, I'm Greg Gutfeld, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Richard Fowler, Joey Jones, and she plays croquet using staples and peas. Dan Aprino, The Five. Former President Trump turning the tables on the media as Republicans ramp up the pressure to release more materials from the unprecedented FBI raid on his home. The press going into full Russiagate mode while trying to disprove Trump's claim that the Bureau seized his passports. CBS anchor Nora O'Donnell tweeting, quote, according to a DOJ official, the FBI is not in possession of former President Trump's passports. Trump had accused the FBI of stealing his 3 passports during the search of his Mar-a-Lago home. The orange menace forced to correct the record, with his spokesman posting the email that backs him up, proving the agency removed his travel documents from Mar-a-Lago and would be returning them. The media is also ramping up their good versus evil game.
And I would say to our friends who are watching us today, vote as if your life depends on it, because it might. Kevin McCarthy threatened the possible next Speaker of the House, the Republicans win, threatened an attorney general and said, you'd better lay off Trump or else there's going to be violence.
Are we going to survive this?
I don't know. The hopeful part of this is that America does have resilience and we do get over moments like this.
And remember how this raid was urgently needed to protect national security? Turns out Attorney General Merrick Garland sat on his butt and waited weeks to approve the search warrant. And we still don't know what the underlying evidence that was used to justify agents going through Melania's wardrobe. Right now, the DOJ recommends to keep that sealed. But a judge set a Thursday hearing to determine whether the public gets to see it or not. Senator Lindsey Graham says the American public needs transparency now.
We need the affidavit. Show your cards. Merrick Garland can't have it both ways. He can't give us the inventory, the warrant, without telling us why it was necessary. Without the affidavit, we're flying blind in the dark, and the American people are going through too much pain, too much heartache on this endless effort to destroy Donald Trump.
Judge, welcome back.
Thank you.
You were missed.
Really?
Yes.
Thank you. I missed you, too.
Aww.
And you. You I didn't miss, because you weren't here when I left. I don't mean anything. Okay, let me tell you what I think.
I won't even ask you a question. I'm just going to throw the battery.
Let's remember who's going to be conducting this hearing on Thursday. It's the same judge who signed the warrant.
Right.
Okay? So you've got this judge who signed a warrant that apparently was messed up from the get-go, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. If it were a search warrant and they made a decision to go beyond a subpoena with a court order, there had to be some exigent circumstance. There had to be some emergency. Then we find out that Merrick Garland waited weeks before he actually made a final decision on that. And then we find out that even before then, in June, the president was cooperating with the NARA people, the National Archives people, who sent him a thank you note for cooperating. So at this hearing, the judge has to decide, look, we've got the American public has an interest in this, but the Department of Justice is saying, no, we don't want you to release this affidavit, the basis for the warrant, because we think it will compromise whatever investigation we're doing, mm-hmm. that it will cause harm to certain people if it's being released, and that it doesn't serve a public interest, and that there is sensitive information, and they'll get a roadmap to where we're going. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, in my 30 years in law enforcement, I have never heard of a defendant. And remember, this is a criminal warrant based on a statute that is not a criminal statute,
right. The
National Archives record. And so what he's saying, the president of the United States, the ex-former president, is saying, release it. I don't care what it says. I'm not worried about what it says. So this judge is in a box. The judge has to say, hey, wait a minute. Well, we've got the defendant himself, who's not a party, the supposed wannabe defendant. He's not even a party. He's saying, let it all out. You know, the judge then has to decide, was it a wholesale fishing expedition? Now he knows America's tuned into this. They took passports. The media, based on Nora O'Donnell saying, oh, they didn't take it. You know, it's like we got a warrant, a legitimate warrant from the FISA court after we lied, after Christopher Steele did a dossier that Hillary Clinton paid for. But no worries. Justice is still good with the FBI. And if you believe that, then you got a problem. But in the end, this judge, I think, is going to make a decision that it's got to be released, that they will only redact certain parts of it.
Yeah.
And I think there's egg on the face of Merrick Garland, the Department of Justice, and the FBI.
Yeah, enough to make a 10-egg omelet, Dana. You know, I didn't realize we're going to have Michael Beschloss in. How do you say his name?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, whatever his name is. This is the same guy that tweeted about tweeted the Rosenbergs.
Yeah.
They sold secrets
yeah.
to Moscow, and they were executed. The inference being that Trump would be executed too. What right does he have?
A lot of the historians have been concerned for the last, is it 7 years now, mm-hmm. about norms and institutions mm-hmm. and the protection of the Constitution, etc. And I was just thinking about this when you were talking, Judge. The defendant is not even really a defendant yet,
no,
right?
Not yet.
No, so. And we still believe in innocent until proven guilty, and that's in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And we still believe that the burden is on the prosecution. So at this point, I don't understand how he could also say the norms of the country are at risk, but also tweet something that basically says Donald Trump is guilty of selling secrets to the Russians.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that given all of those things, that doesn't make sense. And I do wish that it's on the media side of things. I know you want to be first, but it's more important to be right. And the whole passport thing just stirred the pot even further to make people less convinced that this is on the up and
yeah.
up.
Yeah, same with the nuke stuff. It's like people just, it just sounds so much like Russian collusion, Joey. And the other thing, too, you hear about why did they go into Melania's closet? There could be a really simple answer to that. That maybe that's where the safe was. Mm-hmm. Why don't they say that? Or why aren't they saying that?
I think I wouldn't acknowledge that either if I were them, because it's way too low-hanging fruit. It's fun. I mean, you see millions of Merrick Garland in, you know, elaborate evening gowns now.
Yes.
You know, look at where we are as a country right now. Because of what happened at Mar-a-Lago, half the country, or at least the politically active charged right half, thinks President Trump is being persecuted unfairly once again. And the other half of the country would just assume have President Trump, executed for treason. Mm-hmm. You know, those are polar opposites. There's a lot of in between. But why would the FBI, why would the Biden administration take steps to put us in this position today? It's not to say that Trump deserves special treatment. I understand the argument that those documents probably belong to the United States government and needed to find their way back there. It sounds like they're negotiating on how to keep those things safe. Seems like they were in a really good agreement, a really good place. And then they said because of an FBI source and surveillance, they had reason to believe that those documents weren't as secure as they wanted them to be. And that was the precipice of this raid. That's what caused it. And you take a step back, say Trump doesn't deserve special treatment. But the American people don't deserve to be thrown into another polarizing situation where we sit around and have arguments where we could be having discussions, where we sit around and say, oh, my God, the government's going after Trump yet again. Or we sit around and say, oh, Trump's trying to sell our nuclear secrets to the Soviets. I don't believe either one of those are wholesale true. But you got a lot of reason for people to sit around and make those arguments now because of this, in my opinion, careless action.
You know, Richard, what happens when you have a poorly made burrito? It falls apart when you're driving. And I think that's what's happening here, that this narrative is falling apart as the media drives it, and they don't know what to do. What are your thoughts, besides agreeing wholeheartedly with me?
Well, if I won't do that, and I don't eat burritos while I'm driving. But
I have this closed-circuit camera footage of you doing that.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Really?
We're going to be showing it in the B block.
Yes.
Really? You got to consult my lawyers before you do that one. A couple things here. Listen, I think there's a lot of media speculation on all sides, right? Both on the right and on the left, people are trying to speculate were we in Melania's closet? Were we not in Melania's closet? Everybody's trying to speculate what these 11 classified or confidential documents that were raided from that were taken from Mar-a-Lago. I think we have to wait to see that. We'll find out tomorrow we'll find out on the 18th when this judge has this hearing. I think we should release the affidavit. Normally, judges don't do that because you don't want to tarnish the reputation of the defendant, but because he wants it released, let's release it and let's get to the bottom of it. But with that being said, I think there's far too much speculation. And I also think that, you know, when people are like, oh, this is a faulty warrant, think about the levels of clearance that this warrant had to go through. Not only was it signed off by Christopher Wray, who was appointed by Donald Trump to be the head of the FBI, but it was also appointed by, it was also signed off by Merrick Garland. And remember, he has decades on the federal bench. And progressives have knocked Merrick Garland for being too slow, too judicious, but that's what judges do. They're judicious. And so I think he's very judicious. And then on top of that, it went to a federal judge, and then the federal judge said, based on this information, based on this evidence, our own Jackie Heinrich reported that it's very likely that the person, the part of this evidence is somebody from his security detail. His Secret Service detail, sworn officers of the court, saw classified documents. They have a mandatory ability, they have a mandatory rule to report, and they reported that we saw those documents.
No.
Are they not officers of the court?
Could
Your
you
Honor?
Imagine putting your life in the hands of someone who wants to rat you out over that?
Like, yeah,
you
but imagine, their job is to protect
I want you to take a bullet for
States.
Me.
Yeah, you know what? If Merrick Garland is so judicious, how come he called parents domestic terrorists and sicked the FBI on them? I have a little trouble with that being judicious.
All right. Me too. By the way, Melania's Closet sounds like a sitcom on Hallmark.
No, it sounds like a great place to shop.
Yeah, that is true.
It could
or
be
just hide.
Documents for yeah. Who knows?
All right, coming up, a liberal city reportedly taking cops off the streets so they can protect TV and movie sets instead.
Nation exclusives, triple confidential. Was the sinking an accident or part of a horrific scheme? Take a deep dive into Titanic secrets. Some say they're trying to control the world with help from the devil. Enter the temples in Freemasons, a society of secrets. The clues are ominous, but what's below the terminals is more shocking. In Denver Airport Conspiracy, hidden in plain sight. The best conspiracies come in threes. Triple confidential. Start streaming this week on Fox Nation.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
A big liberal city siding with Hollywood over everyday citizens. Chicago police are reportedly diverting some officers away from patrolling neighborhoods so that they can protect TV and movie sets instead. It's in response to an incident that happened on a film set where a suspect lit and threw an unidentified object. Nobody was hurt in that particular incident. But the Windy City is already struggling with police staffing shortages as rampant crime continues to surge. Chicago PD is defending the decision, saying this: "We work closely with the city's film and television community to provide safety and security for the production crews, as well as the communities in which they film." Okay, Judge, I think one of the things is that there's just not enough police.
No, there's not
enough
police.
And there's not enough law enforcement, and so they're diverting. And you would think that the movie studios, though, could hire private security if they need it.
That's exactly the point. You know, I lived in Chicago for several years. I would go back and forth. And I love Chicago. It's a beautiful city. The sad part about it is when they make a decision that they want to divert their resources for people who are coming in to make TVs, TV shows and movies, you say to yourself, you know, the poor people on the South Side or those who are now in the Loop area, apparently, is having dangerously low staffing problems as it relates to the police. You have to say, well, maybe the TV and movie people ought to hire their own security. That, you know, when you think about it, the police and the businesses pay taxes for police to defend them and protect them. If you come in from out of state or you come in to do a movie, maybe you should have your own security. And the saddest part, let me just finish on this. The saddest part is 47 people were shot in Chicago this past weekend. Not one person was arrested. 47 shot and I believe eight killed.
Yeah.
Eight dead, not one arrest.
You know, what the judge is saying there about how the movies should hire their own, they're trying to. But it's probably a city ordinance or regulation. They have to hire off-duty cops. There are no off-duty cops.
No, you don't.
Well, they're trying to hire off-duty cops for security.
Bring them
There's
in from
nobody
L.A.
To hire.
They can fight them.
There's nobody to hire, and nobody wants to come do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's the problem. I live in a town in Georgia where a lot of filming is being done. And I'll tell you what, You know what? Maybe if you can't keep your people safe, you don't get to profit off the movie industry. Maybe if you can't give people the least, like the simplest part of the social contract, which is security, if you can't give people a semblance of that, maybe you don't get to involve yourself in the movie industry. Maybe you have other things you should focus on. Maybe an industry of entertainment and fun and celebrities isn't what the mayor needs to be catering to because the people there are in a dire situation. I don't know. That's just an idea. I'll tell you what. You want to come to noon in Georgia, you won't get shot at or anything, but you might have to eat some fried chicken and cornbread. We have a lot of movies made there.
Yeah. And the movie industry, they usually always get tax breaks anyway, right, as incentives, Richard, in order to get there.
Yeah, I mean, they get a lot of tax abatements. But here's the thing. Let's talk about the problems in Chicago. And I think they go far beyond Hollywood. I think you have a mayor who can't run the city. And you see it show up in so many different ways. Not only when she promised that she was going to fix the public schools. She continues to have contention with the teachers there. But beyond that, under her leadership, what you've seen is on the south and west side of Chicago, where you have a lot of middle class families, a lot of upper-class families who have houses there. Madam C.J. Walker's original house was there,
right.
The first black millionaire.
Yep.
What they're saying is that they have a mistrust for the police, and they also have a mistrust and they have a lack of confidence in the mayor in the city of Chicago. And I would predict that in next year in her primary, you'll probably see Mayor Lori Lightfoot mm-hmm. unseated because mm-hmm. the people on the south and west side of the city, she ran with a lot of promises, and she hasn't fulfilled any of them.
That's right. She has announced she wants to run for office again. What do you make of Hollywood getting some...
What are they should stop calling it the Windy City.
Because it's windy.
No, they should call it People Shot in the Face City. Because you get more people shot in the face than you get hit by the wind.
It's windy. I was knocked down by the wind once when I was on Michigan Avenue.
You could literally get knocked down by the wind.
It was called the Windy City because of the corruption.
There's a good reason why the police are on a movie set, because people die on them. Just ask Alec Baldwin. But I think it's totally normal to have these people here, but it is a reminder that the film industry and Hollywood and TV will happily denigrate law enforcement until they need them, right?
Yeah.
Then all
yeah.
of a sudden, it's like, we yeah. need a guy with a gun on set because our fans are staring at us and just keep them away from us. And then all of a sudden, they're like, sure, I'll take pictures with the cops. I'll pal around. I'm a man of the yeah. people. And then they'll go on Twitter and crap all over the police. But I think that I have no beef with this if you actually applied the same concerns and protections to the community. What you do for the filmmakers, you do for the citizens. Mm-hmm. If you're protecting the cast of Law and Order, you should be providing law and order to everybody else. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you're pulling people out of unsafe areas to do this, then that's BS.
Agreed. All right.
Dang it.
Directly ahead, a top Democrat panicking about his party being out of touch as the midterms get ever closer.
The Democratic Party coming to a sudden realization on something everybody already knows. Nobody likes them. The guy who's in charge of getting them elected in the House divulging this quote to the New York Times. Democrats could be much more intentional about our work in rural areas with veterans, with farmers. We could talk like human beings. We could build a relationship with voters. I think that most of the voters that we ask about this think that we're out of touch. They think we're elitist. We think we are better than they are, and they don't like it. We have a likability problem. All right, so I'll start with you, Richard. I mean, that's a Democrat who's in charge of getting Democrats elected in the House, Sean Maloney. And one of the things that he says that I think is very interesting, he said that, you know, when we come up with terms like Latinx, you know, these are terms that are just not, they're not accepted.
Yeah, I think he's right about that particular point. But I think the Democratic Party has to really work on the work that they are doing. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, they passed a bill to help veterans who were harmed by burn pits in Afghanistan. So I think they have to have a conversation with the American people about the work they're doing. And it's worth pointing out in a recent Fox poll that the only thing more unpopular than Joe Biden are congressional Republicans.
That's all I have to say about it?
Yeah.
That's okay. What all right, Joey, hit it.
Yeah, listen, there is a difference between the legislation you pass and what you say behind the microphone or the bullhorn, for sure. But that's a Democrat problem. That problem is something they've allowed to fester in their own party. As someone who, when I go outside the door, I know I'm going into a world that wasn't built for me. I never sit around and think I'm more important because of that. I want the world to eventually recognize my limitations. For me, it's a physical disability, and for a lot of people that Democrats are pandering to or speaking for, it has to do with their identity or their gender or cisgender, that they are a boy one day, a girl the next day. I don't fault you for that. I don't hate you for that. I honestly could care less about that, but we've evolved into a generation that says, because of this, I'm more important. I need to be represented more. I need to be heard more than the farmers out on the farm or anybody else. Mm-hmm. Listen, if they had their way, there would be two classes of Americans, all the oppressed people and some single white males or some straight white males. Okay. They have found a way to cut everyone into a group of oppressed, belittled, downtrodden victims. And I just have more faith in people that are a little bit different in this way or that way than to believe that's how they see themselves. So I think even those groups of people are starting to reject the AOCs of the world and this idea that they need to be pandered to in such a way that they're put on a pedestal rather than elevated to where everyone else is.
You know, Dana, large majorities, huge majorities see the economy in this country. They view it negatively. They don't see a recovery on the rise. And they're generally unhappy with the way things are going in this country. So the question is, what can the Democrats do, seeing as they've had already a year and 8 months, to convince people that we're going to make your life better?
Well, they tried today, right? So the president, to great fanfare, signed a bill called the Inflation Reduction Act. Exclusively passed by Democrats, in which, for example, it's going to raise taxes on people making as little as $10,000 a year. And in that bill, they are going to give $10,000 to anyone who wants to buy an electric vehicle, up to somebody who makes $250,000 a year. So that, yes, yeah, you're out of touch. That's what people have been saying from the beginning. The other thing that's interesting is Biden himself had long been considered the likable guy. Mm. And then Mark Penn is a Democratic pollster. He says, as his research tells him, that is no longer true. So when you have somebody, when the leader of the party happens to be the leader of the country, is no longer considered likable, then what do you have to do? I think that's why you have a lot of Democrats suggesting that Joe Biden should not run again. And they have a 5-alarm fire right now with Hispanics in particular, because you're not only not likable, but you're out of touch with them. And that, I think, is what Sean Maloney is trying to tell everybody.
And, you know, speaking of Hispanics, Greg, we're now hearing the number is going to be 2 million of the illegals coming into this country. I'm hearing numbers like 500,000, 900,000 getaways. How does Joe Biden, how does he justify that? Does he need to justify it? Can he change that?
Well, I don't know. I want to talk about this guy. I want to talk about what he said. This guy, I think it was a veiled attack on wokeism. I think he realizes, and we predicted this, that once wokeism would turn on itself, they would suddenly see, we got to get the hell out of here because we are actually attacking each other. That's what's happening to the Democratic Party. If you can't be a person, but instead you're a collection of characteristics, it's a hollow, demeaning existence, right? It's like, you know, you're easily dismissed, and you can dismiss others as groups. Yeah. Like, these are dead white males, these are white males, whatever. But their obsession, to your point, is that it divorces them from the real issues. You could say immigration, but the suffering of all citizens really comes down to crime, inflation, and bureaucracy, government bureaucracy. If you went up to a modern leftist and you said, my God, my groceries are too high and I can't go out and walk my dog at night, you know, an identity obsessed progressive would say, well, now you know what it's like to be a minority. And then you go, wait, I'm black. And they go, well, now you're a white supremacist. Right. So it's like if you don't, you know, it's true, Richard. If you are a black conservative, you are a white supremacist.
No, I mean, let me just say this, because Joey
it's
made this.
It's a fact. He said to Larry Elder.
See, no, Joey made this argument. You made this argument about what minorities want, what minorities don't want. As a minority at the table, as a black gay man in America, I think it's very simple. We want a seat at the table. White men have a seat at the table.
You don't have one? You're sitting right here.
How many openly black gay legislators do we have? How many openly black gay members of Congress
them.
That we have?
I don't count them. And you know what? They're not a lot of short guys in the NBA. And I don't count that either.
When it comes to policymaking, you need to have people who have different lived experiences in the room to determine how policy works.
This is what's destroying education, too. You got to fire the white teachers before you fire anybody else because you got to make sure the quotas are right. This is actually poison.
But don't you see the difference between what you're saying and what a lot of these politicians are saying? You're saying a seat at the table, and they're saying, no, take your seat in the back because these people have been kept down for too long, and they're potentially dividing us on
that. All right, guys.
Any group you can come up with.
Okay. For me, we want a seat at the table.
You have a seat at the table.
Democracy is sky high. Leonardo DiCaprio helping to fund climate lawsuits while cruising around in his own gas-guzzling private jets.
Hollywood star Leonardo DiCaprio getting called out as a big old climate hypocrite for secretly helping to fund lawsuits against big oil while racking up a huge carbon footprint himself. Fox News getting a hold of emails that show how Leo uses his nonprofit foundation to award grants to a dark money group. That organization then funnels millions to a law firm that sues oil companies. This is the same guy who flies around on gas-guzzling jets and hangs out on super yachts. And remember when Leo reportedly flew 8,000 miles to accept an award for environmental activism?
Yes.
And then turned around and actually flew right back.
Love this topic.
Dana, dark money essentially means you put money into something, they go and lobby for political change, but you can't go back and see who funded them.
Right. Right, and it happens on both sides.
Yeah.
But I think what you're saying here is that Leonardo DiCaprio is behind the collusion and price gouging of increasing gas prices on Americans. I mean, it's incredible what has happened, because what do you think happens when you sue all the oil companies with frivolous lawsuits? They're going to pass those costs on somewhere. There is no activist group that is more pious and ridiculous than these people. They are such hypocrites. And the tone of their debate.
Climate change
that if
people
you,
or Hollywood?
Climate change people.
Yeah, it's a church.
Well, it's the same. They're the same. One and the same. That they basically, if you disagree, if you have another opinion, then you're a climate denier. It literally never ends. And it's the one debate where the activists are not getting any new converts.
Yeah.
Because of the tone of the debate.
Greg, the hypocrisy is pretty obvious. I mean, every year it seems like there's a new story about Leo flying around the world or being on a yacht. He's the most vocal, so he's the easiest to criticize. But just compare him to someone, say, like Elon Musk, right? Which one of those two men have done more to get us away from fossil fuels? One attacks oil companies. The other one attacks vigorously the idea of innovation.
Mm-hmm. I'm obviously Musk. But I think, you know, you're looking at it. We see it as a hypocrisy when, in fact, one is meant to cancel out the other. So Leo realized that this is the best game in town to let you do whatever you want outside of your own political issues. His name is out of gossip columns, the news. He was untouched by Me Too or cancel culture, while lesser members of his P-word posse, do you remember that? Are you guys old enough? He would go around with a bunch of Hollywood guys, and they were called the P-word posse, do whatever they wanted. This was pre-Me Too. You don't hear about anything about him because he's cloaked his past and his sins in green activism, so no one dare question anything else. It's a smart move on his part.
Judge, they're essentially funding a law firm to go out and lobby. Maybe the law firm is just raking in money and not getting much done. What is their effort here really about? Suing oil companies?
Yeah, I mean, they can get any one of a number of people to be a plaintiff in some kind of class action lawsuit or any other kind of lawsuit. Plus, you know, they're paying themselves for the hours that they're putting into the lawsuit. But I think a point that Dana made is a very good point, and that is that the activists are not getting any more popular. And I remember that, I don't know, where was it? Was it in Italy, Greg, when people were on the road?
Yeah.
Or people were going in to wear a Starbucks and gluing their hands hands down. You know, Americans aren't saying, gee, I want to be one of them. But, you know, it just is their own lunacy that they think they're protected. And Leonardo DiCaprio is protected because he's an actor. And this is all theater to him. It's nothing but theater. He's funneling this money so that they can sue the oil and the gas companies while he flies around on his jet. It's really disgusting. But I think that he makes himself saleable to the theater and to the Hollywood elite.
You know, Richard, there's a difference between the people that make themselves celebrities for this and then the issue and the people that fight for it. There's conservative groups who want to see the planet taken care of. I'm a hunter and a fisher. I see a lot of things that I wish we were more conscientious about, where we ruin wetlands and ruin places to hunt because we're irresponsible sometimes. But that is such a different issue than climate change. There's an AP poll that shows that only about 35% of Americans even care about this issue or consider it to be serious. And that's down from 44% in 2019. So is it because Biden just passed a big Green New Deal that people don't care anymore? Do they think the problem's solved?
Well, if it wasn't the Green New Deal. But there's a couple points here. I think one, if we're going to have a debate about dark money, and I think Dana's right, it happens on both sides. I think that's what's made our politics so toxic, because you can literally run a commercial that said paid for by people who pay for ads, and it could go all across. And so if we're going to have that conversation, then we need to revisit the impact that Citizens United has had on our politics and take dark money out of our politics, thing one. I think thing two, when it comes to Leonardo DiCaprio, I think we have to acknowledge that one plane ride is not going to be the tipping point on whether or not the climate, you know, spontaneously combusts. But we have to acknowledge that, to your point, what's happening to our wetlands, what's happening with extreme weather. Just a couple weeks ago, we saw the horrific floods in Kentucky. And while we covered it for 1 day or 2 days, the people who are living in Kentucky are still dealing with the remnants of that flood. So there's real impacts that we as a nation have to deal with. But I agree with Dana, you're not going to get there by gluing yourself to a Starbucks counter. You have to meet people where they are and then take them where you need them to go.
Over the 100 years,
the judge said the Starbucks counter.
But I would remind everybody, remember that guy who was just trying to get to work and in the truck, and the climate activist for blocking the highway, and he lost his job? Because he didn't make it for his parole officer?
Fatalities related to extreme weather have declined like something like 96% over the century.
But it's not about the fatalities, but the fact that people have to live through this.
No, it is about fatalities.
So I have to tease. But I want to point out one thing.
What would you measure it by?
It's both. Both the fatality and the fact that people are living in Kentucky in trailers.
There are people that move. There are actually people that move to areas that create higher risk.
So here's real quick. I have to move to tease this, but I want to correct this one thing, because you don't tell the whole story. Climate change people never tell the whole story.
Right.
It floods in places because we spend 100 years damming it and pushing the water away from where it should naturally go. That's why the Mississippi Delta is a complete mess. Mm-hmm. Not because of rising seawater, but because we don't let the water go where it's supposed to anymore, because we want to farm here
there's
and build a business there.
Sandy,
we chose that.
Fire.
Right. Those are anecdotes.
Alec Baldwin lashing out at the media after the FBI blows up his story about not pulling the trigger.
Alec Baldwin insists that he didn't pull the trigger on the movie set Rust. Instead, the media is out to get him. Watch.
The people that are talking loudest about what happened or speculating about what happened were not on the set of the film. The LA Times, the Hollywood Reporter, they talk on and on and on about what if this and what if that. The thing that they have in common is nobody was there.
This week, the FBI rejected Baldwin's claim that he didn't pull the trigger. Now, Judge, what we know is that the actor saying he's waiting for a pending sheriff report to determine if the district attorney will bring charges against him. Do you think that there'll be charges brought against Alec Baldwin?
I don't know, but I remember speaking to the DA some time ago, and she obviously is waiting for the sheriff's report. I think it's interesting that you've got the medical examiner who ruled that this was a tragic accident. You know, that is a conclusion. That is something that is subjective. I think the most disturbing part of all of this is that the FBI said that the revolver was in good working order and that in order for that projectile to come out, Baldwin had to have pulled the trigger. Mm-hmm. That contradicts exactly a prior statement that Baldwin had made saying he never pulled the trigger. So the trigger had to be pulled to release that. I think it was a 45 Colt. And then he comes up with some defense. His attorney said, well, the gun was broken. Well, if the gun was broken, why did it work? Right. And then the second thing that is a concern. So you've got the criminal issue, and I'll be very quickly. You've got the civil issue. He's at war with Hannah, the armorer, because she said that she had requested specific cross-draw training so that she would be able to teach him when he was doing the cross-draw for the shootout. And in addition to that, Baldwin says it was a Colt. He was told it was a Colt gun. So there's civil lawsuits up the kazoo, but criminally, I don't know. Maybe reckless, maybe negligent.
Dana, I mean, to that point, I mean, he pulled the trigger, right?
Well, that's the thing about, I'm also curious about what a gazoo is. I always wonder how far up the gazoo.
Well, one you can blow, and the other one you can't.
That's a kazoo. Yeah. But this is what I've always felt. If he actually did not pull the trigger, he would have immediately said at the moment that she was shot that I didn't even pull the trigger. He didn't say that until 6 weeks later, so I don't believe him.
Greg?
He's on the hook for everything because he's the producer. So I think the armorer was incompetent.
Yes.
And she was hired for reasons other than her competence or excellence.
Yes.
This is why they needed somebody like an NRA instructor there, but they've been demonizing the NRA forever. So they went with some lady with blue hair and 35 tattoos. She was a legacy. We know he didn't mean to kill the person. We know that.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, he's going to be on the hook and he's got to pay a lot of money to that family. That there's a young boy without a mother.
Joey, your take. I mean, you know your way around a gun.
Greg made the exact point. This isn't intentional. This isn't murder one. This is negligence to the umpteenth level. This is irresponsibility to the umpteenth level. This is from the top down inability to do the most basic things necessary to have firearms on set and be safe. You don't have to own a bazillion guns like I did before my boating accident and some of you will understand it, some of you won't, to understand how a gun works, especially a revolver, a single or double action. It's very simple. And if it's double action, that means as he pulled the trigger back, he saw the hammer come back and go back forward. If it's single action, as he pulled it back, he saw the hammer sling forward. So there were physical characteristics of the gun. If you have the simplest understanding, could have prevented this. He's responsible for not understanding the tool in his hand. He's responsible for being a boss and having hired people that didn't do it, right? And people died, or someone died. It's tragic, but responsibility's still there.
It's deep responsibility. Joey, guess what? We have to pull the trigger on this segment because one more thing is up next.
That was good.
If I come around you, can I be myself? Wind up in a mirror just to see yourself. If I was in your shoes, I would hate myself.
Tell us what you really.
Oh, gee whiz. You gave me some breaking news, and I was Dana. Sorry.
It's time now for one more thing.
We have breaking news at the DOJ. Well, tell them the breaking news, Judge.
The breaking news was on my phone. It says DOJ admits it acted outside scope authorized by court when seizing Trump passports.
Yep, so there we have it. I'm sure there will be more to come on Special Report, but before we do that.
It doesn't surprise you now that they don't want it.
I have this Dana's corny jokes. Here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, Percy joins. Okay. Here we go. What do the sailors use to clean their noses when they have a cold?
Hoses.
A swab.
Anchor chiefs. Do boats sink very often?
Do boats sink?
Boats. Do boats sink very often? No, usually it's just once. there you go. Okay, why do pirates have such a hard time remembering the alphabet?
Because all they know is C and R.
They get lost at sea. Very close. What kind of vegetable is not allowed on ships?
Lettuce.
Leeks.
Leeks.
Last one. Where do sick boats go for checkups?
For more.
Got this one. Where do sick boats go for checkups?
The dock.
The dock.
Oh. Yes.
doesn't. That's because you're a dad.
Yeah.
That's why.
Exactly
all
right.
That's all I got.
I'm real proud of that.
All right. I'm just going to do the first part. Where is it? Oh, gee whiz. Okay. Tonight's show is really good. 11 o'clock. I got Tom Shalhoub. He's marvelous. Andy McCarthy. He's going to bring some intellect to my show.
Yes.
Rob O'Neill. He did something very important. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And Kat Timpf. There you go. And now it's the judge.
Okay, so it looks like the Air Force has some strong new recruits. A driver in Florida saw this determined black bear scaling wow. a fence at Tyndall Air Force Base in Panama City, Florida. Kevin Darwimple caught the big bear carefully maneuvering over the barbed wire to get to the other side before scattering from the scene. It took only 24 seconds for the bear to get over the barbed wire. He was wow. stunned by the bear's athleticism, adding that he went over the fence like an Olympian. And by the way, they don't have any problem with bears over there, and they often scare the heck out of bear personnel.
Ah, those crazy bears. All right, Joey.
Hey, just to turn a little bit more somber, today marks the one-year anniversary we saw the plane take off from Kabul, and probably the most stunning images from the entire debacle in Afghanistan. People eventually fell from the plane. Two things here. One, I had a really good friend, Lee Bowden, I went to OD school with. He was there that day. And he posted on his Instagram some images, and he posted the text between him and his wife. And in those texts, it really showed what some of the men and women who were there still struggle with. And his last thing he wrote on his caption was, "That day on the airfield set the standard for an operation that we were told would be deliberate and orderly, and it was anything but." Mm. And I just want to say, if you are still struggling with knowing this war ended the way it did, go to bootcampaign.org and get help.
Yeah. All right. Good Richard, one. I think we're all, you got 5 seconds, seven.
These amazing high school students at Rome High School, they saved a woman in a car accident.
Well, that's good.
Right. Yeah.
Look that
Rome,
up, story.
Georgia.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.